going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Today, I'm in here with Harry Jowsey. How you doing, man?
Bro, you know what? I'm actually fucking a little bit foggy.
Really?
Bro, I targeted strike yesterday. I was in my car. I opened my glove box, and I was like, oh, shit, a chocolate bar.
Okay.
I wonder where this has come from. Didn't know I put it in there. But I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to bang this chocolate bar and have a great session, have a sick pump. I go home, and then I start to feel fucked up. And I don't smoke weed or anything like that. So when that hit me, I was like, oh shit, it was a fucking edible.
Oh no.
So yesterday, bro, my boys flew in. They're like hyped, like, oh yeah, we're gonna do these TikToks, like fire out content, do all this shit.
Right.
Bro, I'm just fucking whacked, bro. Like walking around like a zombie in my house. Like, I don't know what hit me. I legitimately thought that I thought someone spiked me. I was like, damn, like I just bought a water at fucking Creation. Like one of the ladies behind the thing must have spiked me. And I'm like numb and like groggy. And bro, I was asleep for 6 hours. We went to dinner and I was like, this is the worst possible thing that could have ever happened to me. I was so annoyed.
See, and I feel like so many people who don't smoke weed get turned off to weed because they will have an experience like that and just get way too high. And my girlfriend is at that level right now. I'm fiance, sorry. Where she just like one time ate a tiny little piece of an edible and thought it was going to be all good. And then instead she got sick as fuck, puked everywhere, and has not even like hit the blunt since, because now she's convinced that it's going to be the death of her.
Legit fucking ruined my day. And I woke up this morning, I'm still foggy. I was like, this sucks.
Really?
Because obviously I did way too much. It's just like, if you have one shot, you're going to feel buzzed. But if you have a whole bottle of vodka, you're going to be absolutely fucking fried.
Well, if you liked it, you should definitely check out these 2020 futuristic gummy strips, because we absolutely adore them around here, my friend.
They look strong as fuck.
If you wanted to try a more moderate amount, maybe you could like rip off a piece of one of those strips instead of just going for the whole chocolate bar.
Yeah, I might have to. But I didn't know, bro. It literally said Hershey's. So I was like, oh, sick. Who put this here? But then I remembered I picked up this girl probably like a week ago from this party, and she had a goodie bag and she was just putting shit in there. And then I realized it. And because it was like a little sticker beside it that said like this weed company. Yeah, and I was like, oh, it was a fucking...
The marketing, they're getting sued crazy for that, because they will make the packages just say Skittles.
Yeah.
And there's no indication that this is not made by
Skittles. I wanted to sue yesterday. I was so fried, but I was legit a zombie. Like, I dribbled on myself. That's how fucked that was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so bad.
I thought this story was going to be about how having a chocolate bar in the glove compartment of your car in LA is not a good idea in general, because that shit is going to melt everywhere and just fucking coat the inside of your shit and your insurance.
It was fucked.
Yeah. But it wasn't melted?
It was like melted, but like it got to a point where it was like a little bit hard now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was like kind of like a...
I feel like however you're living, you probably have your car like refrigerated. Like you have good AC for where the car's at.
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate in luxury, where you don't have to have the hot car you get into.
Yeah.
Now that I got a yard and I park my car in the yard, I'm realizing like in the old apartment complex I was in, I was parked in the garage and the car was cool. And that was kind of nice on its own, you know?
Yeah, you need to get some shade.
Fuck.
Damn, bro. So, what's good with you? What's happening?
I don't know. Life's good.
Yeah?
Can't complain. Doing a shitload of interviews. We're launching the Patreon in a couple days. So,
damn. You know,
a couple good things going on.
That's sick.
What about you?
I don't know, bro. Just trying to keep the wheels moving, to be honest. I've been diving a little bit headfirst into like TikTok and stuff like that. So just doing the most, trying to keep the wheels moving on this train.
And you have a couple of guys with you who are on the new season of Too Hot to Handle. Yeah. Were you guys already friends, or did you just somehow, is this like you all become friends automatically?
So it's like, I love watching other people win. I hate that mentality of like, there's not enough success, or there's not this or that. Like, I manifest crazy, and I love that mentality of like abundance, and there's so much to give and get. And I find for me personally, it is selfish because the more I give out, the more I get. So I love seeing like these guys win, or I love like, because I went, like, we had no idea how big the show was going to be last year in quarantine. Like, we had no clue what was going to happen.
Because a lot of reality shows end up hitting, like, a very small audience. Yeah. So it must have been kind of weird for that one to become so big, huh?
And it was also, Netflix is one of their first ever reality shows.
Right.
So it fucking slapped. And it was the craziest thing. And I remember I was explaining to the boys, like, I just remember being in that moment and going, fuck, I wish I could talk to someone who's been here before, or what I wish I could know who to trust or what to do. Because I was like, pretty much, I just moved to America. I was with my best friend and we're in this shitty little apartment, and I was just trying to figure out what the fuck to do, who to trust, who to go out with. And especially like LA, it's a very like, you know, like dog eat dog world. So I was like seeing these guys like about to come into kind of, you know, a similar situation. I was like, fuck, like what can I do to give them knowledge and like try and push them in a direction. So I'm like posting them, doing what I can to help give them some guidance and stuff like that. But they're fucking crushing it. They're about to be huge, bro.
Definitely.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, oh, that's so crazy though, that you were like filming that show the whole time and you really didn't know like what effect it was going to have on your life. Cause now we see it and we kind of take it for granted. Like, you should have just known the whole time that this was going to be that big of a thing for you.
Bro, like we could not have predicted. It was the number one show in the world for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
I had no idea, especially in quarantine. Like, who the fuck would have guessed that this show would have come out while everyone was at home?
Right.
It was a crazy shit, bro. It was wild.
Was there a part of you, and I really don't mean to be rude when I say this, but was there a part of you that when you showed up, you were like, I wish I had gone a little harder in the gym leading up to this? Because you're in great shape, but it was like everybody else who was there, like all the dudes were like a little bit more chiseled. And I was like, damn, if Harry had like 2 weeks hard training, he could have been really, really flexing out.
Bro, looking back, I would have done Tren straight up. I would have just gone and fucking juiced out of my mind, bro, because they were big boys. Like, I went, look at it this season as well. I'll say to them, I was like, damn, I'm fucking glad I'm not in that cast. Like, it's some big boys, bro. It's like, it's so intimidating. So I was, when I was there, I was like, damn, I really wish I just fucking tried a little bit harder, or like had the mentality that I have now. But then again, I look back at that shit and I was like, how can I level up and not be a skinny little skinny fat piece of shit?
Right. And I mean, you did win the whole thing, right? And you scored arguably the hottest girl on the whole thing. So I mean, apparently that the body fat percentage doesn't define you.
Yeah, I guess it's just all like confidence and personality.
Definitely. So you really going into that, you didn't know anything about what this was going to be like?
Bro, no clue. Like, we got, so the whole casting process was literally like asking, how many girls you slept with this week?
Right.
What's your body count? Like, what are you doing at a bar? Like, how do you pick up girls? So I'm legitimately thinking, I'm about to go on this just fucking massive sex, like orgy show. Like, just, bro, I went in like throbbing, like pissing pre-cum. That's how excited I was to get on this show.
Right.
We went in and I see the hottest girl I've ever seen in my life. Everyone around me is just bad as fuck. We're drinking, we're having a good time. And then when the rules got dropped, they cut it out, but I was crying, bro. I legit was a mess. Because I was like, you're going to put the hottest person I've ever seen in my entire life in front of me.
Right.
And then tell me I can't do what I'm genetically designed to do, and that's reproduce with this person.
Right.
Like, all I want to do is like reproduce. I know. And I couldn't.
You're crying.
I cried, but I was a mess.
I've never had to cry because I wasn't going to be able to fuck. But I mean, I could see it, you know?
Well, I don't know, bro. If you got told that you weren't allowed to have sex for a month, though.
A month.
Yeah.
And you really couldn't jerk off?
No,
there was just cameras in the bathroom or what?
Everywhere, bro.
Because that was the only thing I could think of, as like the only way I could survive this is if I was able to just deplete my body of jizz repeatedly throughout the day. Because also, you're just standing around wearing bathing suits.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for Mr. Happy to go.
And also, there's like the challenges and shit that we do. They're legit, like, you have to tie each other up. Like, learn about someone else's body. Like, bro, you couldn't even put your leg up and like try and jerk one out while you're asleep, because the microphones are so fucking toned into where you're at. Like, they legit could. I remember seeing one of the sound guys like whisper into a pillow to test it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, we got it." I was like, "Damn, bro!" Like, I couldn't even there was one moment when I got sucked off, and I thought we got away with it, but I just couldn't stop laughing all night. Like, I was, because when I come, like, I don't know, for some reason I just giggle.
Yeah.
So I'm like giggling in this room full of people, and then we just got absolutely fucked, and then watched the video back and you could hear it like slurping it up.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You gotta just pray to God for a wet dream.
Yeah, bro, honestly.
That's like the only relief that you can imagine. You used to have wet dreams when you were a kid?
Yeah, bro, all the time.
I had a couple of them.
Yeah.
Only a couple before I learned to jerk off.
I had one where I legit woke up and I was like shaking. I was like, damn, that's crazy. I was having sex with this famous singer on a piano.
Right.
It was a vibe.
Wow.
It was crazy.
take me back.
Yeah. I wish it come true, but it was crazy. My dorm room. Yeah.
So, okay. During the process where they're like evaluating you and feeling you out, because like I was talking to my girl and she was like, you know, like if they just put me in a house full of random people, like what are the odds that like I'm really going to want to hook up with? But I'm like, you got to think like they're curating the people to be hot,
yep.
And not to mention hot, but like mega single, mega flirtatious, mega down to hook up. They're not putting some girl that's going to want to wait fucking 3 weeks to get into it. Yeah. They're going to pick girls who are actually going to be in the moment, right?
Yeah, they legit pick the horniest people. And also, you have to realize, like, you're on a reality dating show. So there's also that thing in your head where you're like, okay, right. Well, I need to find someone if I want to make this work and if I want to be around for the whole show. So, like, what can I do to, like, try and double down? And then obviously when you're getting to know someone, you want to have sex. Like, it's human nature. So, like, when that comes into play, like, there's no way of holding. But I would like to see any of my friends try and survive that shit.
For real? You didn't have anybody who gave you any kind of advice going into it?
No, I legitimately thought I was going on like an orgy show. Like I was so ready to just start my fucking porn career by just getting my meat out online.
See, I was thinking that this is an interesting concept for a show, but it would almost be a better show if you guys just everybody gave in and it was just like available on, you know, OnlyFans and you guys were just all hooking up the whole time.
Yeah, I just I don't know how well, like, especially for strangers, like people who haven't had a taste of this life. I don't know. I feel like that would be a great show. I'm pretty sure I did see something like that on Pornhub.
There's definitely like people kind of sort of doing that, but like with the production quality of Netflix and then just making porn. So you really thought you might have a porn career after this?
Yeah, because I was, bro, because again, like the whole process was just like asking about sex life, what are you doing in bed, like all this stuff. So I was like horned up going in, like I was so excited.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably half the girls you meet these days have OnlyFans though, right?
Yeah, it's so good. Shout out to that. Bro, it's so great because I subscribed before I like hang out with them.
Really?
I have to check it. I also have to know what's going on. Like, are you having sex online? Like, what's happening over here? Like, I need to see the whole shebang.
I know I'm old school because, like, you know, there was a girl who was around this podcast recently. Mm-hmm. Somebody who works for us actually copped the OnlyFans and, like, it hadn't even crossed my mind. And then he cops it and he just, like, pulls me aside. He's like, yo, do you see this shit? And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, it didn't even cross my mind to spend the $10 and go check out what she was working
with. You have to, bro.
Yeah.
It's... I don't know. Like, I just get so excited about when I see that stuff as well because I'm like, damn, I want to see how freaky you are. Like, what's going on?
Definitely.
So I always support the OnlyFans girls.
Do you just lie to yourself constantly and think that you're actually capable of getting into a relationship even though you know that this is just not happening?
No, I try so hard, bro. It's so difficult in this city because everyone just wants to have sex and have a good time. But, like, yeah, I've been trying a little bit. Just trying to chew through as many people as I can to find the right one.
Do you feel like, because this is how I always felt about myself, is that I was just, like, I would just meet random strippers, random girls at the bar, and I just, like, fall too hard, but then, like, very abruptly it ends. Like, I would just always be the dude who would meet a girl, we have a few drinks together, all of a sudden I'm telling her my life story, I'm eating her out, I'm going crazy on her back home.
Damn.
And then it's just not a real thing. Like, it's just, I snap out of it the next day.
I'm the worst when it comes to that, because I'll get drunk, I'll be like, oh, I want to get you pregnant, like, I want to marry you. Bro, there was this girl that was, like, legitimately seeing on New Year's, and I was telling her, like, just please get off birth control. Just please. Like, I'm begging you. Just let's have a kid so I can figure this shit out. And then literally a week later, I was like, damn, I never want to see her again.
Right.
Like, it was so up and down. I'm exact same.
Yeah, because one thing you realize is that having a kid is not, like, a really good, like, manifestation of your sexual energy. Like, in reality, the pregnancy is kind of, like, inherently, like, not the most sexual time afterwards. And they have the baby. Yeah. Like, they're not really in a super sexual mood for a while. Yeah. It's very, like... Yeah,
I have to stop saying it because it's so bad, but especially when I'm drunk. That's why I'm trying to, like, slow down on my drinking, because I legit will try and marry anyone. I'll try and, like, get everyone pregnant. Like, it's the worst.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
So recently, did the Francesca thing become a real thing again, and then now it's not?
Yeah, it's difficult, bro, because the relationship has been so much pressure and energy put into it. So she just come up back off a pretty hectic breakup and she was getting a bit of heat online. And I know she wasn't doing okay. So I reached out because also I had, like, a whole bunch of weird shit happen to me in one day that made me, like, think about her. And I just was like, I'm going to squash everything that happened in the past year. I apologize for the stuff I did. Uh-huh. And I was like, I just, at the bare minimum, just want to be your friend and move forward in this sense. But she was like, wasn't doing too okay. So I went to Mexico to go see her, and it was going to be like complete top secret Navy SEALs mission. Like, just wanted to see her, make sure everything was all good, make sure that we can move forward as adults and just be friends at the bare minimum. And then we ended up getting papped at this restaurant, and I was like, damn, I said to her the next day, I was like, damn, I didn't realize it was like paparazzi in Cancun. Like, that just sucks. I was like a little bit annoyed, because when we had so much pressure and eyes on our relationship is when it was like the most, like, it was like walking on eggshells. Like, it was horrible.
Really?
When it was private, it was fun. Like, it was good. We had great times together. But when that happened, I was like, oh, we're in for it now. So we may as well just double down. We started posting TikToks, doing all this stuff. And then I spent my birthday with her, and then I come back and she went to Miami, and then we just didn't see eye to eye on a couple of things, and I tried to handle it privately, but I didn't get the same respect.
Really?
Yeah. It sucked, bro, but whatever. And I always say, like, I always have love for that girl, and I always want to be there for her. And I always tell her, I was like, look, like, I'm always a phone call away, no matter what. Like, I don't care what's happened between us. Like, we still, like, our lives changed together. I still will always be there for you. Like, I still have nothing but love. And I look back, like, fuck all the bad bullshit. I look back at the good stuff. I'm like, damn, like, that was my best friend for the longest time. Like, this is the person I wanted to marry. I would hate to look back and be like, that sucks. Like, this happened. This is shit. Like, nah. I will try and keep, like, good memories on that.
Definitely. Do you feel like that flame just sort of, like, burned so bright? Like, some relationships, I think, are meant to be, like, really intense couple-month-long things, but then definitely aren't suited to be a couple-year-long things.
Yeah, I think, like, you're right. Like, it was very, there was a lot of like highs and lows.
Yeah,
it was very like up and down, like a roller coaster, like all the time. And it definitely was like one of those like couple month long things, and where both of us learned so much about where we want to be, who we want to be, and like the love that we need. So I think it was, there was so many lessons that I got out of that, and same goes for Frankie. But yeah, bro, it was just like one of those things that once we tried again for like the fucking third or fourth time, I was like, okay, like we need to just like nip this in the butt. And I said to her, I was like, if you ever want to be friends, like, I'm always here. Like, I'm not closing any door, but I just know we're better off not being in a relationship.
Definitely. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, because like, you kind of always get viewed through the lens of what you first come in the game doing. Like, if you come in the game as a rapper, you know, if Lil Nas X tomorrow, like, is in a movie, it's like a rapper turned movie star. Like, if I did something crazy tomorrow, it's like podcaster turns into this. For you, it's kind of funny because everybody came to know of you as, like, a dater.
Yeah. Bro, it's weird because I'm always, I was telling the boys, it's like, it sucks because I'm always, like, anything I achieve, like, I got a dating app with Mike. Like, anything that I do that's coming out, it will always be like, Harry Jazzy from Tour to Handle, who dated Francesca. It's like, bro, like, I can't catch a break. I'm always going to be tied to her, which is okay. But I would, it's weird because it's just like, I can't really do anything that's going to pull me away from that.
Right. But I mean, you can, like, that's got to be kind of like the mission, right? Is to like figure out how to sort of like rebrand into something that seems like it's going to have a longer shelf life, right? Because so many people who are in the position that you're in, they try to monetize it for a little while, but then it just kind of falls apart. Like, in your mind, like, what is the strategy of like what you're building towards?
For sure. I think the biggest moment for me was when I got recognized as a TikToker instead of, oh my God, it's Harry from Tour to Handle. And that for me, I was like, oh, cool. Like, now I'm getting known, like, people just knowing me for just being me instead of Harry from this show or whatever. But at the moment, we're like, I'm going real hard on the podcasting as well and pushing TikTok, because it's just the most thing that I get the most enjoyment out at the moment. Like, I love sitting down and having these conversations and like getting to know people. But again, like, I think I'm trying to go more down like the hosting route, because for me, that's where I can see myself being. Like, maybe it's a host of this show or whatever, but reality TV, like, the chaos and the fun is something that's always going to attract me, because like, being in a situation where you're competing against other people and like people talking shit about you and you're just like able to get drunk and fuck hot people is like a good time.
Right.
So I don't know. I'll never say no to anything, but I'm definitely trying to push down the podcasting route for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Definitely. Were you nervous at all when you started doing podcasts? Or like, what was your thought process like leading up to that?
I was nervous because like I know how sensitive like the TikTok audience is, and like you could say one thing about one person and they'll take it like out of context and like blow it up. Like people always try and search for like a deeper meaning of what you're saying. It's like, no, like I'm just trying to have a giggle and like have a good time with the boys and like enjoy it. Like I caught myself many times just having pure locker room chat, like shit that was like not even me. I was just being vulgar because I was like feeling their energy just bouncing back and forth and like hyped. So that's been the biggest thing for me, is just trying to not say shit that's like gonna upset anyone, because all my mission at the end of the day is just to make people laugh and like have a good time and like sit down and enjoy like you know, the conversations like this.
Do you think your Australian sense of humor is sometimes lost in translation to the teeny bopper TikTok audience?
For sure.
A girl a cunt and it just goes over badly.
Bro, legit, like you can't say cunt, you can't say anything. Like,
oh
like,
yeah, cunt is not TikTok friendly.
Bro, no. I'm like, it's a term of endearment back in Australia. Right. Like if you like, what's up, cunt? Like that's a good time. Like people like excited, but if you sit call someone mate, they're like, oh, yeah, damn, this guy doesn't like me. But like come to America and I have to be like, you have to be like very straight edge. Like my Australian humor like doesn't really fly in like some situations for me and my boys. Like we think it's hilarious, but like other people online like, oh, you probably shouldn't have said that.
It's crazy because Australia has such a reputation for being like the craziest, most like, you know, these drunk hooligans or whatever. But when you actually are in Australia, I was shocked by how strict the fucking rules are.
Yeah,
I'm not getting in the club because I got tattoos on my face.
Yeah.
I'm not like they have the system in the bars where like if you punch somebody in the face, then you get put in a system where all the other bars in town know about you. It's wild, shit. Bro. That kind of blew my mind. Like,
yeah,
it's so strict.
There's like where I'm from in Brisbane. There's this area and literally you'll see all the boys with like their neck tattoos and like putting makeup on outside the clubs. Like painting their shit, bro. Like all these guys, like fully just have like foundation and everything on because they won't let them in. Because what we have back there is like our bikies are our gangs.
Right.
So like all the bikies like tatted up and stuff like that. So they're like, hey, we're going to limit like fighting because we have a lot of people just getting knocked out and killed. Like a lot of people getting hit from behind.
That's why I think they changed the time that the bars close from like 2 a.m. to like midnight because like a guy got punched in the face and killed.
Bro, so many people get killed. There was actually one lad recently in New Zealand, and they haven't done anything about it. I think now they're starting to overturn some laws and stuff like that in New Zealand because, bro, there'll be people like just walking around. They'll just want to fight. Like it's a weirdest. Like here in America, you can't do that because someone would just be like, okay, cool, I'm gonna shoot you.
Right.
But like in Australia, like no one's got guns. Like no one's got weapons. Like so people just want to test their toughness and just try and like beat the fuck out of each other.
Right.
And it's sad, bro. So I think that's why they're like so strict on that shit. But you come to America, like no one's gonna try anything because you'll end up, you know, getting fucking shot.
Right. Did you growing up, were you like getting into scraps all the time? Is that just normal shit?
Bro, all the time. Like, it was like, I'm surprised my nose is as cute as it is because it's been broken so many times. Like, go out to the clubs. Like, I remember one time I'd just be drunk. I'd just like, just jab someone and just see what happens. And I just end up getting fucking jumped. And I'm like, all right, sweet. That's how my night's gone. Like, people just like, just do it, bro.
Right.
Especially 18, you feel invincible. You're just like, fuck this. Because that's when you can go out. Like, you can be out and about when you're 18, especially with your boys. And you're just like, fuck, pinging, having a good time, going crazy.
Right. I was just getting reminded too of like how crazy it was at the music festivals out there because you're at a music festival, you don't smell any weed at all, which that fucking, oh damn, I almost got that fly. You don't smell any weed, but then meanwhile, everybody is rolling their fucking faces
crazy,
off
bro.
Like zombies coming out of the woodwork. Like I obviously you go to Coachella or whatever, you see plenty of people on drugs, but it's not like that where it feels like everybody is
fucking wild, bro. It's crazy. And it's weird because in Australia, there's so many cops and undercover cops.
Right.
And like to get into a festival, you usually have to walk through a lane of police and sniffer dogs and shit like that. So once you get in there, it's like to see people so fucking rocked is crazy, right? But Aussies just get amongst it. Like they're fucking wild.
Yeah, they figure it out.
It's crazy, bro.
Because it's like, all right, one guy explained it to me in terms of Australia. He said there's very high moral character in Australia in the sense that, like, he said, like, you could leave your bike right here and nobody's going to take it. You could leave it here for fucking 3 days.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if that's an exaggeration or not, but he's basically saying, like, people just kind of, like, tend to respect each other, respect the law or whatever. Yeah. So it is kind of weird in Australia whenever you see something that sort of contradicts that.
It's weird, bro. I remember like when I growing up, my parents would just leave the keys in the car, leave the car on, go get like go to the bakery, like go get a pie, like just walk around, go get the newspaper. Mm. It's weird, bro. Like it's so different, and like no one wears like where I'm from, no one wears shoes because they're right on the beach.
Right.
It's very relaxed. Then you come here and like everyone's got their shit locked up, like worried about stuff. Like one of my boys had a gun pulled on him just for his watch. Like it's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, but Australia's just way more relaxed.
Just out in Hollywood that happened?
Yeah, it was on Melrose. Yeah. Oh, but it turns out it was one of his like one of the guys that he grew up with, and he's like, bro, I'm not wearing my watch. And then they found who he was, and now he's locked up. So sad, bro.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. You haven't had a meat pie since you got out here?
No, you guys don't have them.
I think there might be a few places that have them, but definitely not with the efficiency that they got them out there.
Bro, they're so fucking good. I'm missing it. My boys posted on their fucking story like last week of them eating a meat pie. I was like, holy shit. Like, that's just... miss that shit, bro. It's so good.
I knew a dude who had a meat pie shop in, like... Orange County.
Yeah.
He like started it. He's like a BMX dude who knew a lot of Australians. Damn. Went out there, started a meat pie shop. I'm pretty sure they didn't last and they're closed down. So,
bro, it's just, you guys just don't cling onto it. You don't enjoy it.
I don't get that.
It's like culture, bro.
How could you have anything against that flakiness of the pie? You know, it's like you can't just put sweet shit on there. You got to have the meat in there too.
Bro, right? It's so good. It gets me so excited, bro.
Right.
Can't wait to go home.
Definitely. How do you feel? People react to you in your Australianness out here. Like, what it feels like Australia is like a mystery to the average American. Like, they just really don't have much of a foundation of knowledge of what's going on out there.
Bro, I saw this TikTok of this guy explaining that Australia is fake. I was like, bro, what the fuck is going on? Like, it's just some people just, I guess, they're in their own little worlds. But I'm kind of lucky because I can get away with more shit.
Mm.
Like, I can say some like vulgar, like wild shit or like do something and people are like, it's okay, like he's Australian, or maybe right. I'm just cheeky, like I don't know.
Do you think it's kind of like bizarre that I'm sure you have girls tell you all the time that they just like your accent?
Yeah.
And that's like a huge factor in them being attracted to you, right?
It's the weirdest thing, is like it's just the way I talk. Like I could be saying anything. I was talking to this Russian girl. She's like, I got no idea what you're saying, but it's turning me on. I'm like, that's enough for me.
Right.
Like, perfect.
Yeah, what is that? Isn't that bizarre?
It's crazy. But then again, I also get it when I'm meet a girl who can't speak English and I'm like, fuck. Like, this is crazy.
Okay, but you hear a girl with like a typical LA accent, does that spark something in your brain? I'm like, ooh, that's hot.
Yeah, I get a little bit excited. Okay. I'm like, oh damn, like this it sounds like I'm in a movie.
That's what I was telling my girl too when we were watching Too Hot to Handle. I'm like, bro, I can tell you these people are gonna fuck each other. They all have accents.
Yeah.
Like to each other, they all have accents.
It gets me
and
going.
That's just gonna make it happen. I don't know why.
Yeah, something about an English accent really fucking makes me want to cream in my pants.
Really? The English does it for you?
Yeah, bro. Fuck it. Just, I feel like proper and professional. It feels like I'm going like a lawyer's office and like
it does,
they're sitting me down with like a cup of tea and just want to fucking get their back blown out.
It's funny because I think to a lot of Americans, they can't really tell the difference between an English accent and an Australian accent.
No idea, bro.
Yeah.
It's sick. It's awesome. I just have a mix between both of them. I was like, just pick which one you want.
Right.
And I'll do it.
For sure. So when you were growing up, like what kind of shit were you like interested in? What kind of kid were you through high school and shit before you inevitably entered into this dating circuit?
Bro, I was a piece of shit.
Really?
I was the worst. Yeah, I was legit just the scum of the earth, just wanker, just the worst child. Like,
wow.
I got kicked out of the school that I was in Australia. I threw like a big riot party, which changed some laws in my state. Like, I was the worst, bro. And then my parents were like, okay, you have to go to a different country. So I went to school in New Zealand. And then I got kicked out of that school 2 weeks before I was meant to sit my final exams because I went to the sister college and streaked with my friends. And we thought it was like a chill day, like no one's going to be there. Turns out the fucking mayor's there. There's police officers. Like it's a whole school assembly. And wearing like pink G-strings and balaclavas. Like, oh, no one's going to realize it's us. But we're all like football players and like tall as shit. And like, oh, it's fucking Harry and the boys, like, and we just got fucked, bro. I had to live in a tent for 2 weeks.
Because of that, they made you live in a tent? That was the punishment?
Well, my parents are like, we've spent enough money on you. Like, okay. you can figure it out. So I went and bought a tent and, like, lived in a park.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I love how Australia just kind of has to, like, pawn people off to New Zealand from time to time. Like, is that, like, accurate? Like, people sort of, like, switch back and forth.
Yeah,
like,
bro. It's weird. Yeah. It's just everyone's going back and forth all the time. But there's so many New Zealanders that live in Australia now just because the opportunities, you know, are more so over in Australia.
Right.
Yeah.
I watched the streamer All In Pav, who's, like, a poker player, and they banned poker in Australia. So, boom, he just moves to New Zealand and just, damn, like, restarts his whole life.
Why do they ban it? Because they can't tax it?
Just online. There's all kinds of crazy-ass rules out there. And shit. Yeah,
that's wild.
Madness.
Yeah, different.
What do you like? compare the New Zealand experience to the Australian experience, though, was there like intense culture shock for you making that transition, or is it pretty similar?
It was pretty wild because like there's a lot of native culture. So like at school, like we're learning about it, we're doing hakas, like we're doing our school haka, our house haka. Like it was crazy. It was really like interesting and cool to see. And also like rugby is like a religion there. Like they study it at school. Like a lot of the boys that went to my school and now like in the All Blacks and like doing really well. So it's like a very big like culture around rugby, and like you're at school, you're at the school, like you're going to, your end goal is to be a rugby player. Like that's it. Like that's kind of how people were. But I thought I was good at rugby, but I was a skinny little fucking twig, and I went over there thinking I was good and got my knee busted. Had to get a reconstruction at 17 because these dudes are just fucking 10 times bigger than me and actually good at sport.
Honestly, nobody should be playing rugby, right? Like it's just so crazy.
So much fun though.
It looks so violent, but it just seems like insane. Like I had a friend, a roommate who played rugby for, like all through fucking like after college for years and years. He played rugby, and I'm just seeing him come home just destroyed all the time. And I'm like, how can you continue to justify doing this, dude?
It's so violent. I fucking love it. It's so much fun. But it's not like hockey. Hockey's terrifying.
Yeah, but those are like fights that just sort of like go down from here and there. Like it's not like most of the hockey game is dangerous, right? But then like in rugby, it's like the brutal, like we have American football, but these guys are dressed like the fucking Terminator. They're like RoboCop out there with these suits on. The rugby dudes might as well be fucking naked and just smashing skulls.
Bro, it's lit, especially with like, especially being in the ruck and shit like that. Especially like the team that I was in was like the really shit team, so people just fight. So you just watch people just getting pumped and then be like all in.
Right.
It was sick, bro. It was fun. But yeah, I wasn't very good. I was terrible. I was skinny as fuck.
Compare dating someone, like going on a first date to interviewing somebody for the first time. Because like when I was listening to the Lana Rhodes one, I kind of, and I know obviously that's your boy's ex, our boy's ex, but you know, is it kind of like it's kind of like similar, right? Like that feeling of going on a date with a girl slash doing an interview with a girl. It's like you're kind of doing the same thing.
Well, I feel like I'm getting good at dating now because of the podcast, because you sit down and you're, the whole goal of the podcast is like, I need to learn about this person and what's going
on. Make you feel interesting slash really actually pull something interesting out of you. It's like a podcast thing, and that's basically kind of what you're doing on a date.
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm a pro dater now. Yeah, I felt bad from that Lana interview because I went and saw Mike like the next day. He's like, oh, I don't care. But I was like, I still feel horrible. But I feel like Lana needed that to talk about what's going on in her world because she's been getting so much hate, bro. It sucks. It sucks to see.
Right.
And I think like, her becoming a mother is definitely something that she needs. Like she was so excited, and it's good to see her like glowing and like hyped about having a kid.
Yeah.
It's awesome, bro.
No, I'm definitely super happy for her. I mean, her and Mike they weren't made for each other, right?
No way, bro. It was like, that's why I said to Mike as well. I was like, it just seems, if it seems more toxic than good, then it's probably not the right thing to do.
I mean, it's probably not that different from the thing with you and Frankie, where you know, you're like, there's the mega attraction, there's like this instinctive like draw, but then at the end of the day, like, are your personalities really gonna mesh that good?
Yeah, and also I find that like having like public interest in a relationship really fucking twists it, bro. Like,
it does, huh?
That having the energy, like people was putting their thoughts, like, you'll be out and about, like, yeah, here's, like, someone will come up to you, like, yeah, I hooked up with her, or I did this. And like, oh, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't really care about that shit, but, like, I'd rather not hear it, right. You know? It was difficult, bro. I don't think, like, my next relationship will be public. Like, I'll keep that shit so on lock.
But it's crazy because you kind of have, you have to have the choice between dating somebody who you can completely relate to, who is famous and has that in common with you, or somebody who can't relate at all to what you're going through. It's going to constantly be kind of like lost in translation. They're not going to understand what you're going through. Like, think about how overwhelming the paparazzi shit is for you with somebody else famous. Yeah. Think about how overwhelming it would be for a girl who has to like go work at the mall the next day.
That's true, bro. Yeah. It's weird as well. Cause like you want to, like I found that it's been difficult because some girls don't know how to deal with attention. And I'm like, look, like I'm not entertaining anyone else. Like, I'm sorry that someone else thinks I'm attractive or this person commented whatever on my photo. I don't control that. But like, understand, like online and real world is like different. Like I'm gonna make you feel like you should trust me. But it's been difficult. Like I've had a lot of issues in dating in this city. But also, I guess I'm probably not picking people who are good for me. I'm just like, damn, you look like the best time. Like, let's hang out.
I didn't actually know your name until Julia Rose was on here and she just mentioned you. And I was just like,
oh, is she talking shit? She loves to talk shit about me.
Well, I heard her on Logan Paul's shit basically insinuating that you called the paparazzi on you and her.
Yeah, I remember that day because I went to pick her up. I was like, oh, let's have some food. And then she's like, where should we go? I was like, fuck, I don't know. So we started driving. I was like, oh, I've seen my friends go to this place. So we pulled up. And then I remember when I first saw the paparazzi and I put my hat down. I was like, fuck, they're here. I was like, take my keys. I went and paid for it. And I ran the other way. But you didn't get that on the video, but I ran the other way. And then she went and got in the car and like drove around and got me. But I was like, I promise you, like, I did not call them whatsoever. It was a Hollywood fix. Like, he sees me everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he's crazy, bro.
I haven't seen him in a few years, but that guy, I mean, we used to see him just constantly everywhere.
Yeah, bro, I don't get it. And I asked him one time. I was like, bro, how the fuck do you know where we are all the time? He's like, oh, people DM me. It's wild. Yeah, it's scary because like trying to have a good like little meal with someone or like trying to enjoy it, especially if it's like someone the opposite sex, then you're like fucking tied to them or like connected.
Mm.
But yeah, shout out to Julia. That was a whole bunch of fun.
Did that level of fame kind of like just happen like overnight almost? Like all of a sudden when the show comes out, all of a sudden you're just dealing with this shit?
It was so bizarre because that's what I was trying to explain to these boys is all our episodes dropped at the same time. Like theirs is split up over like 2 weeks. But it was the craziest thing because it slowly kicked off. Like all the episodes dropped. Like we started getting attention. And then probably like week two is when it just fucking like was like roaring to the point where I had to like call my friends like, please, like someone give me a Xanax. Like I'm about to fucking have a meltdown. I have to put my phone down because it's crazy. Like you're just sitting there watching your life change in front of you. Like, and you can't do anything about it. Like I can't be like, oh shit, like I'm good now. Like I'm going to go back and live on the farm and just hang out with my mom and the animals. Right. Like I can't just be like, oh shit, like I'm going to do that. There's now like millions of people that are like glued in and locked in on what the fuck I'm doing. So bro, the day I hit 1 million followers was the day I hit 2 million. It was the craziest feeling. Like we're having a party like in the morning, like spraying champagne. Like this is wild. Like this is how cool it's going to be. That night, bro, I go to bed and it's like 2 million followers. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Every single day for a month, I was getting 2 million story views. Like it was the craziest thing. And I didn't know what to do. That's why I'm like so glued to these dudes.
Mm.
It's because I'm like, yo, like I remember that feeling and I was like, didn't know what was coming and I didn't know, like I was so anxious. I didn't know where to move or navigate. And I'm like, I just don't want like good people to have that stress or whatever. Like I want them to be like, yo, it's fucking like call me at like 3 a.m. and be like, yo, this is what's going on. I need a vent.
Dude, like, I like sometimes people will be like, oh, like I just saw that you followed me or whatever. And then I think in my head, I'm like, there's so many people that I don't notice that they follow me because even though my account might get like 1,000 Instagram followers a day, it's like I'm not gonna look through 1,000 accounts per day to see if there's anybody's name I recognize. Getting 2 million followers in a day like you just your account is useless to you basically because it's gonna take you a fucking lifetime to go through even just the most popular people that are messaging you that go to the top of the inbox. Like that's just I can't even imagine what that must have been like.
But it was like again like just overwhelming to the point where like I really valued like putting my phone down and like going and sitting on the roof
right
and like just having a moment and just like yo just real life virtual like just take a step back and like come back to earth because bro like seeing that shit is just crazy as fuck because like a lot of people like it's gradual over time like you start to like figure out your niche you figure out what's going on but like reality show is just like boom and then it's just like slow like gradual like chill but so it was bizarre bro. I think I've been like very blessed that like I've got really good people around me and I've kept like my same circle and I've kept like good people around me this whole time that I can really navigate my way now.
Was your attitude at that time though, was your attitude I need to lean into this and do shit to go more viral or like do shit to make even more news, more headlines? Or is your attitude like, I'm just going to fall back and just try to be very scarce right now because this is also overwhelming?
I tried to do as much as I could. Like I was like, I need to be seen everywhere. I need to push it as much as possible because I know it's not going to last forever.
Mm.
I know this attention isn't going to be here forever. What can I do to be seen on TikTok, Instagram, like YouTube? I was trying to push out as much shit as I possibly could to be seen everywhere and then just figure out like what worked for me and what didn't. Like I was posting every single day on Instagram. That shit was difficult. I was posting like 3 or 4 times a day on TikTok, like trying to push merch, trying to do this, like waking up. And I had a rule that I would never say no to anyone. If someone DM me like, yo, let's do a TikTok or like Hype House is like, yo, come over. I'll be like, I'm never saying no. Like even if it was like 4 people in a day, right. I'd drive around everywhere to try and like collab and like keep the wheels moving because I found that a lot of like reality stars just stay in their little bubble and then don't really push out like and do anything like different or try and be seen elsewhere. So that's why I went so hard on TikTok or was like trying to meet other influencers, because then I learned shit from them that I wouldn't have figured out because it's just all happening at once, like in a month.
But did it, like, you know, there's a big difference between like your friends and the people who want to do content with you because it's going to benefit their brand at that moment. Like, is that even entering into your head of like how fake some of these relationships clearly are, or does it even matter? Because it's like you're clearly kind of both using each other in most of these situations, you know?
But it was weird because it took me until now to realize that like a lot of people just wanted to be around me because I was so hot for a month. Mm-hmm. And that was fine. Like, I don't mind it. And I really don't care, because I understand like it's the name of the game. And some people have been around this industry for months and years on end. So I get that that's how they keep their wheels moving personally. So I wasn't offended by it, but I was like, okay, cool. Like, how can we both like benefit and keep it moving? But yeah, but the city, there was a lot of people that kind of like jumped in and tried to hang out that unfollowed me or going quiet now.
What's the biggest things that you've been kind of like taken aback by, like certain things like that people have done that just seem so incredibly tasteless that have just sort of like struck you as like, I can't believe this is happening to me right now?
I think like, bro, the biggest thing that took me back is like how many people will hook up with other people for money in the city.
Really?
Like that for me, like seeing like a lot of people not really working or doing anything, but like just, and no shade whatsoever. Like, it was just interesting to like notice that in this city, a lot of people will just do whatever for money, like, and paint their picture to be something that's like completely different to what they actually do. But I was taking these boys around like a $30 million house today, because being in this city and being around people that have achieved so much at so young, I'm like, I just want you guys to dream bigger. Because when I come here, I was like, damn, I want to make $100,000, or I want to do this. And now I'm like, yeah, I want to make 20 million. I want to make 50 million. Or how do I become a billionaire? Because it's so achievable. Like, the fact that this dude's like Drake walking this earth right now means that like that shit is so achievable because someone else has done it. Like, there's going to be someone that's bigger than Drake in X amount of years or whatever. But yeah, that's how I've been like trying to like change my mentality, is like going from how do I make $1 million to like, how do I be bigger and better, or like, you know, hanging around people who are like making smart investments or like changing the world or doing cool stuff like that. The coolest thing was when I got a call from Bieber and he gave me his time and like wanted to make sure that I was like okay mentally, because he called me at the right time when the whole show was happening and everything like that, and like really just said, hey, like, not bro, nicest dude on earth. And for me, that was the most humbling thing, is like someone who's achieved so much,
wow,
give something that you can't get back, and that's time. He gave it to me. He gave me an hour of his time to make sure I was okay. We fucking chatted. We had a really good chat. Nicest, sweetest human. I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's all I needed. Like, I could die happy. It's crazy.
Did you see that Billie Eilish documentary?
No, I haven't watched it.
Oh, man.
What happened?
You just see, like, Bieber kind of have that role in her life where he taps in and just sort of, like, just steps in, because she like worshipped him. That was like her crush when she was like 9 years old or whatever.
Damn.
And he sort of just comes into her life and gives her a lot of assurance and works on her with some music and stuff. But, you know, really just kind of seems like he just instinctively knew that she was going to be going through something that was very similar to what he went through. And he just wanted to sort of give her some help and some advice.
He's the GOAT, bro. He's fucking crazy. I even said to him, I was so embarrassed when I said this, because I was nervous. I'm like, damn, talking to the king right here. I was so nervous, but I told him, I was like, bro, I cried at your concert in Australia. I was with my best friend. I was like, I promise, like, I'm straight, but like, I was crying like a little bitch at your concert. I was so excited. He's like, oh, thanks, bro. He's like, no one really says that, but I appreciate it.
Wow.
Bro, it was crazy. Like, that's the guy right there. Like, I even was saying on our show, like, damn, if there's anyone I would want to be friends with, it's him. Like, he's achieved so much at so young. And for that to be possible, like, you just have to dream bigger.
For sure. You see that video of him confronting the fans outside of his apartment?
Yeah, bro.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
That's great. And then the lady asked for a photo at the end. Yeah, she asked me to put it in the air. I'm like, bro, did you not hear what you just said?
Right there, I just immediately like just felt like a lot of sympathy for everything that he must go through. I was like, fuck, dude.
That would be on a different level, man. You have to move so quiet. You can't trust what's going on around you. It would be such a hectic level of like trust having people like in your circle.
And you see what it does to some people. Like when you see like an Eminem where like, you just haven't seen him outside the house
ever,
in like 2 decades or something. Like, he just chooses to completely separate himself from the chance of something like that happening. And it kind of seems like a reasonable decision at a certain point because you have so many people just kind of trying to. And like even that is just little girls standing outside your house.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how many people probably have tried to rob Bieber or would try to pull something like that on him if he didn't have the security around him and shit. Like, the danger that you're in realistically has got to be fucking overwhelming.
Well,
you know?
Even you, bro. I remember watching a podcast where this dude walked in and had a gun to you.
Yeah.
But you were relaxed. Bro, I would have froze.
Yeah. The thing that people couldn't see is that there was another guy with a gun pointed at that guy's head, like, behind him. And so that was kind of
were you live streaming then as well?
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
That was a weird part that I didn't have to like clip it and put it on my Twitter. It was like 500 people had already put it on Twitter, so I just got to quote tweet one of them.
Did your shit go viral after that?
Yeah, I was on like, you know, I was on like Inside Edition, all these news shows and shit. The weird reality of it though was that wasn't a real gun. So like then I immediately like felt like so relieved, but obviously in the moment I like actually thought this was happening.
But you were so calm. I was like, damn, this guy's been through some shit.
Because I'm on live stream, so I'm not wanting to look like a pussy. So I'm kind of like in my head. There's like part of my brain is focused on like, nah, like this has got to be a joke or something. Yeah, you know.
Damn, bro, I couldn't imagine, man. I probably would just freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how the fuck did this dude get in? Because obviously this place is way more secure.
Yeah, they were just like bringing food into the back of that. That was when we were in the bike shop on Melrose.
Right.
Which, when I think about it now, I'm like, holy fuck, Melrose is so crazy now.
So crazy.
I could not have fucking be pulling that off right now. But yeah, he just kind of slipped in.
Damn, bro.
You don't. Are you aspiring to be drenched in designer at all times, like Austin McBroom? Are you going to be rocking mad chains and shit, or is that not really you?
But I made my first like big watch purchase the other day, or like last month, and I was like, ugh, like it's not really me. Like I don't, because I also hang out with a lot of business people, and they're like billionaires or dudes that have actually like made it and done shit. I'm like, like you're just wearing Allbirds and like very relaxed and like sweat. So for me, it was like. Like I was watching, like hanging out with influencers, and they're like drip down designer, and like wearing like bust downs and this and that. And I'm like, is it real success? Like I don't know. Like it's just, and also like a lot of people mismatch their designers. Like they'll be wearing like a Gucci top and like Louis bottoms. I'm like, that just doesn't work. Like, but I can't talk. I got terrible style. But I was just like, yeah, I personally don't see myself like going down the route of needing to be like trying to prove something or like having mismatched designer.
Yeah, like yesterday I interviewed this record executive, Steve Rifkin, who discovered like Wu-Tang and all this shit. And I was wearing basketball shorts, and I was kind of thinking in my head before it started, like, fuck, like, am I underdressed? Like, what the fuck is he going to come in here wearing?
Yeah.
And then he comes in, he's worth like $500 million or some shit. He comes in basketball shorts. And I was like, perfect. All right, nice.
Yeah, I'm on the right path. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, legit. I don't know, bro. Like, I also, like, I'm friends with people who just... every bit of clothing is designer. I'm like, just bro, I shrink every shirt that I have in the washing machine. Right. So like I'm terrible at this shit. So for me to like stress about a $650 shirt, it's just like, I'm like, ugh, it's just not even worth it.
Yeah.
Just go to Boohoo, buy it, or like wherever, go to No Jumper and get a nice, like comfortable hoodie.
That's how I feel too. Like, can you imagine me coming on here and spending mad money to wear Gucci, to promote Gucci, when I could be wearing my own shit to just tell people to buy my shit? Or one of my friends' clothing companies. Yeah. There's all kinds of brands, bands, like all kinds of shit that I would actually like want to rep on my shirt. It's the designer thing's weird to me.
And the designer shit isn't even comfortable, bro. Yeah. It's not comfortable. It's not fun. You're the whole time you're wearing it, you're stressing if you're gonna spill sauce on it, whatever. Yeah. Just get a No Jumper hoodie. You'll be comfortable.
I love this guy.
You can spill sauce on it. You can come on it. Like, who cares?
You can do whatever. Really,
use it as whatever you need.
No, I used to think that, like, I used to look at people's Gucci shoes and think like, those are badass.
Yeah.
And then I tried them on. A couple of pairs, and I'm like, these feel horrible. Like, I'd rather wear any shoe than this.
They're whack, bro. I have 10 pairs of Air Forces, Air Force Ones.
Right.
They're the best. I'm like, this is all I need. Like, I'll get them. I'll crease them. I'll get them dirty. I'll just chuck them out and I'll get some new ones. Like, $90.
random question that's popping in my head. Do they give you any sort of like advice or any kind of like blueprint to follow in terms of your career after this show? And do they like instruct you on like, are there any like endorsements that are almost like built into it where they just sort of approach everybody at the same time when the show ends?
I think they do that with Love Island. I think Love Island has like their set in like partners and shit like that. We're very blessed with Netflix. Like, it's, I guess it's good and bad because they just offer a lot of like support and like counselors and like making, because there's a pretty high suicide rate for reality TV stars, because you have to imagine like it's super hot for a month and then it completely like drops, like if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't want to keep the wheels moving, because it's like a lot of normal people with normal jobs and their lives change overnight and they're like, cool, like this is how it's going to be forever, and then it isn't. Right. Like, you have to keep figuring this shit out. But we're very blessed with Netflix because they offer so much support. Like, even 2 years on, I still have people like from the production company, from Netflix, like texting me, like checking in, which is, they're not even getting paid to do it at this point. They're just good people. Like, they're just really good people. But there was never like any set endorsements or like, you have to work with this company, you have to do anything like that. It's just like, all right, guys, like, go figure it out. Like, whatever path you want to take, like, no one's really. And I guess like, we're also I'm one of the first people from Netflix reality scene. So like, I guess they just, yeah, I guess they just go with the flow. That's why I want to help these guys as much, because I know a lot of mistakes that I made and the direction that I wanted to be in, but I couldn't figure it out at that point. So
yeah,
it's very good, but I guess it's like one of those things that you just have to like let people figure it out themselves, and then the gold will rise, I guess.
It's kind of like Netflix christened two stars during the pandemic, you and Joe Exotic.
Right.
There's probably more too, but
yeah, bro, Joe, he blocked me.
What?
He blocked me.
What did you? What you say to him?
I was hanging out with his husband. He come to LA, and it was me. We have the same manager, and we all had like dinner and like having a good time, like literally nothing crazy. Like a couple stories, like here and there. There's just like, and I guess he just doesn't appreciate. And I commented on one of his posts because he was coming at my manager, and I was like, he called my manager a pissant, and I just said laughing faces like, oh my god, pissant, blocked me.
What the fuck? So this guy is currently married to Joe Exotic.
I think so. Yeah, I think they're still married. But
this guy needs to get over it and realize he's going to be in jail for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if he's getting out.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they tried to get Trump pardon didn't work. After that, where do you go?
Yeah, but he's pissed. He hates me.
Holy shit. He probably hates me too, because I have publicly said basically that I think Carol Baskin got done dirty in that documentary.
Yeah.
He's the crazy person. I think she might have some issues, but I feel like her heart's in the right place.
But like, if you're... Yeah, but I just couldn't imagine owning like that many animals, especially like exotic animals, and like I feel like you'd have to be a little bit crazy.
There's no part of you that wants to just retire back to Australia and just live on a kingdom of animals and.
Well, that's what I have back home. Like, my mom has like, she hoards animals, but she like just collect them to save them. Like, she's got two pigs, Buzz and Bella. They just keep having kids. She's got like 12 horses because she'll just rescue like old race horses and put them on the farm. Has like 12 chickens named Margaret, one named Marcel, one named Sheldon.
Uh-huh.
I think like for me, that's the lifestyle. But exotic cats in like Florida and that lifestyle, you know, trying to profit off them, probably not where I'd see myself going.
Do you think about that lifestyle that your mom's living, and does that appeal to you? Do you feel like if you were, you know, married and done with kind of doing the socialite thing, that you might end up back there just living a low-key life?
Yeah, I think Chris Hemsworth, those boys really, like, paved the way. Like, they've come out here, became fucking Thor, smashed it, did their thing, moved back, like, have a very, like, quiet, relaxed life back in Australia. That's definitely how I see things going, like, doing my bits out here, having fun, seeing where I want to be, seeing what businesses I can build with the people that I meet, and then going home and sitting down and having my wife and my chickens.
Yeah. You think it's an Australian boy summer with you and Kid Leroy coming out?
Bro, I met him, bro. He's killing it, right? Yeah. He's such a nice kid as well.
Yeah.
Bro, I'd love to go home with him.
Right.
Like, go back to Australia with him. That shit would be fucking crazy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, do you think, like, to a certain extent, growing up in Australia, do you feel like America was just kind of ignoring your country growing up, kind of?
Legitimately.
Because they were, just so you know.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Is like, I feel like we're stuck in the 80s back in Australia. Like, right. You come here and like it's like going to Mars. Like, it's so different. It's like a different world over here. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, it's always crazy to me that like Americans just don't really seem to have the same appreciation for like England or Australian culture, even though it's like to me, it just seems so similar. And like, it should, there just should clearly be things from each culture that you can appreciate. But it just feels like Americans are so self-centered that they just kind of can't, they don't even want to hear somebody from like the other side of America, never mind the other side of the world.
Bro, literally, when I first come to America, someone was like, I've never heard an Australian accent before in her life. She like was recording me because she's like, I want to listen to this back. I was like, bro, why don't you just watch like an Australian YouTuber or like watch some Australian movies? Like, oh, I don't know. Like, go listen to fucking Hugh Jackman or someone talk about shit.
Right.
It's crazy, bro. Like, a
lot
of people.
How is my country so ignorant? I don't get it.
Come on now. Yeah, it's wild, bro.
It's wild. What are you aspiring to kind of do from here? Like, are you getting a shitload of offers for other reality shows? And does that seem like that's clearly not the move, or is that like a possibility?
I've had a stack of offers for other reality shows, but it just comes down to like, I've got like a 5-year plan, and like for me, I'm like looking at someone like Ashton Kutcher, or like again like Chris Hemsworth, or someone in that sense, like, and follow what blueprint did they do, or like how did they make it? Like, because obviously Ashton Kutcher is like big time investor right now, and like he just kind of set himself up to just be chilling for a while for the rest of his life. So I kind of like look at him, and I'm like, do I get into hosting, or do I get like go down and do another reality show? Like, I think it's inevitable that I'll be on another reality show because I have so much fucking fun on there, and I get excited about meeting new people and like being in a hot climate, like with hot people. For me, that's exciting. But I don't know, like I'm really enjoying the podcasting right now, but I really want to get into like hosting and like doing like that punked type of vibe. Like, I could see myself being like a young Ashton Kutcher, and then hopefully acting, but I just can't see myself being serious.
You can't see yourself acting. I feel like you'd be a natural at it.
Really?
I mean, I don't know anything about acting, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but I just feel like it'd be so difficult to try and put on a serious face in a room for like 20 people, like with cameras, and I feel like I just fold under pressure.
I was just saying that Young Thug has like a big movie role coming out.
Really?
And that to me is like, if you, like, I never would have imagined that, but then I was thinking, I seen Young Thug acting with Gunna on Dave, the Lil Dicky show.
Damn.
And he was pretty, it worked. And I'm like, damn, anybody could kind of be an actor. Like, I always kind of thought that some of the weirder rappers I know just like wouldn't really fit into that world. Yeah. But I feel like if they could do it, you could definitely do it.
Yeah, bro. I feel like you have to be very comfortable with being like a little bit weird and like hectic in front of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. I don't know. I should probably start taking lessons, stuff like that. But it's also hard for a reality star to transition into acting because people look at us and they go, oh, whatever, like, you're a reality star, you don't really have a talent or anything like that.
You already feel like you're kind of like butting heads against that stereotype, because I don't feel like people put that on like YouTubers or podcasters so much, but somehow the reality star thing is like people just inherently believe that you're going to have a short career.
Yeah, I think like I feel like I've been very blessed with like doing podcasts and shit like that, is that people get to realize that I'm not like the crazy chaotic piece of shit that I was on the show. Like, because I was also on a show, like, I'm trying to win it. I'm trying to fall in love. I'm trying to not give a fuck about anyone but me and my girl. So for me, like, a show persona, like, you only see 10% of someone's, like, personality, whereas, like, real life, and that's why I've been, like, doing as many podcasts and, like, meeting people as possible, is they realize that, oh, okay, like, I'm not a crazy, like, fucking lunatic that I was on the show. Like, I'm a little bit more relaxed in that sense. So it's, the reality stars definitely don't get a good fucking run. It's probably because like Jersey Shore and Geordie Shore and all those shows are pretty fucking wild. Like, they were crazy. So people are like, oh, dumb reality stars, dumb, young and hot. Like, yeah.
I remember, you know, Bondi Beach?
Yeah.
I think that's the beach that we were at. And I don't know why this just popped in my head, but there was like, there's one part of the beach where there's like a pool at this like hotel, and then like the beach is right there, and it's kind of like this weird part where like the beach sort of like meets the pool, and it's very aesthetically pleasing. And I was just there with a couple of my friends and my girl, and we saw so many Instagram girls take photos at this one little icebergs corner. Insane, bro. Over and over and over. I was like, gorgeous. How many fucking hot girls could there possibly be in this fucking area of the country?
Australia's, Sydney, bro, is just a different area, bro. It's crazy. I feel like I'm going to have to marry an Australian.
Do you think so?
So they're just gorgeous. They have great personalities, and they're a little bit more carefree back home in Australia.
Interesting. You know?
They're more than happy to leave the house not wearing makeup.
Really?
There's nothing against American girls or anything like that, but I found like being at home is where like everyone's a little bit more chilled.
Do they strike you as kind of high maintenance out here?
Yeah, I think I am getting a little bit sassy, to be honest. It's all getting to my head a bit.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit sassy. Like,
but are the girls like, when you look at like the female behavior out here, is it kind of like wow you, some of the shit that's considered normal compared to where you're from?
Yeah, bro. Like, I don't know what it is, but there's this girl I was seeing, and she, bro, legit, like, would have, and again, nothing wrong with getting work done to your body, but she had like three BBLs. Like, it was crazy. She's like getting upset that like she was getting like fat here or whatever and didn't want to work out, just wanted to get surgeries. For me, like, that shit's crazy because back home in Australia, it's very rare for people to have like surgeries. And again, like, I'm not trying to shame anyone for doing that stuff. Like, I think it's completely fine. I think it's hot.
Yeah.
But back home in Australia, like, people don't really care so much about that. And people are more than happy to leave the house without makeup on or whatever. But I guess people also like preparing, you know, you never know who you could see in a street out here. Like, you could meet fucking Leonardo DiCaprio or whoever. But
no, that shit freaks me out though, where, you know, I'm not going to lie, like, the BBL thing as well definitely like catches my eye in the club. I'm going to be looking at it, whatever. Yeah. But then, like, sometimes we're watching a rap video and there'll be 15 girls in the video and every single one of them has the same.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, bro, like, does this even matter if you're all doing it? Like, what is this? Like, what is becoming of humanity of this? If everyone has to do the same surgery.
It just, like, if everyone's doing it, it's just not cool now. Like, let's go to the gym. Let's get some squats in.
But that's kind of how I feel when I'm looking at, like, you know, they have, like, fitness competitions or whatever. Because I used to pay attention to bodybuilding a little bit when I was super into lifting weights. And I would notice that with, like, the women's fitness shit, too. I'm like, you all have the same fake boobs. Like, they're the same size. You all have them.
Yeah.
What is this?
Honestly, but I love fake titties.
But your show is like, your own is exactly the same, too. I'm like, all these girls have the same boobs.
I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, it's exactly the same. But I love fake titties, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny it either, but, you know, hey, it's a weird world we live in.
Yeah.
What's going on with Larsa Pippen?
Bro, why is everyone think I fucked?
I don't know. Like, I just read that. I'm not Googling girls that you've been associated with, and no, I'm like, but, that's pretty epic.
But I always get hit that every time I'm like on a podcast. So we went to dinner with like six people.
Oh, okay.
And then I got in a car to leave with her and her friend, and that was it. Nothing happened. Like, we're really good friends. Like, I'll hit her when I'm in Miami, see what she's up to. Like, she's super sweet. She's such a lovely person. But we hung out at dinner with six people. We went and got brunch the next day. Nothing. Yeah, everything was pretty laid back. There's been nothing that's happened there. I think she's gorgeous, though. I think she's stunning.
Fair enough. Yeah. I've always just been trying to figure out, like, what it is about her that drives all these dudes fucking crazy.
You don't like it?
No, I think she's pretty and everything. I just hear about all these rappers, like, associate with her. And so I'm like, bro, leave Scottie Pippen's girl alone, man. I don't understand.
I feel bad for Scottie.
Yeah, me too. Poor bastard.
But she's so gorgeous, bro. She's lovely. Have you met her?
No.
She's so lovely.
You should definitely tell her to do this podcast. So that would be a brilliant idea. Yeah,
I can text her.
You could co-host on.
Oh.
You haven't had her on yours?
No.
That's another great idea. Yeah, if I were you, I would keep that for myself.
Yeah, really? Yeah, I'll quiz her about our sex life. Mm. She'll deny because we haven't.
See, he caught himself right there.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, we haven't had sex, I promise.
For sure. So you're not seeing anybody right now?
I'm trying to keep it pretty low key. Like, I've been talking to like this person here and there, but just trying to find someone that has like the same like motives and drive. Because I realize that like sex and shit and like hot people in the city, it's like fun, but like finding someone who's like driven and like career hungry and like has a good personality is like super rare. Which is not like trying to shit on anyone I've ever associated with, but I just find that like, there's nothing that turns me on than seeing someone with drive and like want to push their career. Was like a lot of people that I've met here, like, I don't mind paying for everything,
right?
But like, I've seen that that's like kind of the standard here.
Yeah, no, definitely. You hear people bring that, like, we've had like a few different guys on the podcast recently talking about how in America it's just fucking crazy how girls are obsessed with the sugar daddy thing and they want to fucking get bags from dudes and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, bro, even when I got in a relationship 5 years ago, I was 100% not privy to chicks thinking that kind of shit was normal. Like, I'm sure it was normal to some segment of society. I was just completely ignorant to it, you know?
Same, bro. Like, when I come out here and I was seeing this girl who probably had like $800,000 worth of Birkins in her fucking, in a room, bro. Had like the most insane shit. And I said to her, I was like, I understand if you're going to live that lifestyle for a couple months,
right?
Make some bread, and you know, obviously it's mutually beneficial if both people want to do it, like, whatever. I was like, I understand if that's the lifestyle you want to run for like a couple months, but by God, just like make some smart investments so then it's just, you don't have like $800,000 sitting in a fucking cupboard. Like, just sell it, go get a house or buy an apartment complex, rent that out. Now you're kind of set forever for as long as you want. You've got your, and you can use that to get another house or like start an investment portfolio in that sense. But like sitting in a room, and that's why I was like trying to like help her like understand. I was like, look, it looks cool and all, and like I'm sure you, you know, post about it on Instagram, but like get your posts in and then just sell it.
It's crazy because we are under the assumption though that they don't really, that they don't want to do this whole lifestyle in the long run. But in reality, I think a lot of them, it really is fun to them to be able to take advantage of dudes like that. And like, I don't even say take advantage in like a fucked up way.
Yeah.
Because I mean, these dudes are along for the ride.
Like,
I've met like chicks who are like 18, 19 year old, like influencers with millions of followers. And they just, and I kind of like only know this like through them being honest with my girl, but like they'll kind of say it around me. But like, they straight up are on these fucking apps and they are hollering at dudes on there and they're getting taken out to expensive dinners and being bought stuff. And to them, it's just fun. Like, oh, I got to hang out with this idiot and he's going to spend $20,000 on
me. Wow, bro.
They just think it's fun. You know some of the people I'm talking about right now. I'll tell you after. But it's just mind-blowing that like they get it. They get the game. It's not, to, but to me, it's like it's not that different than being a dude who's like, I'm going to sell drugs. I'm going to do credit card fraud. Like, you're those are illegal and risky.
Yeah,
and these girls aren't even breaking the law. They're just...
Here's the thing. Like, also, if I was in, if I was an older dude,
right,
and things were a little bit lonely, and there was an easy way to like have someone young, hot, and sexy to come hang out with me, and it was just, you know, buy a bag here or like pay some money here, for sure, absolutely, they're happy, we're happy, so we're not shitting on it whatsoever. I just think that it's one of the most eye-opening things, like coming to the city and like having an expectation about some influences and then seeing like the harsh truth.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, you're just like different people.
You know what it is? It's just girls realizing their own worth.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely. You use, know, these men.
For all this, all these hundreds of thousands of years, girls were kind of just like fucking like allowing dudes to take advantage of them.
Take
mentally,
advantage,
you know?
Of us. Yeah.
And now they're
take
just,
my watch.
They're just realizing, like, oh, my vagina is worth so much.
Yeah.
I could get you to pay me and I might not even have to fuck you.
It's crazy.
I mean, hey,
give me the Chanel bag.
Props to them for figuring it
out. Yeah, I wish there was, I could get a sugar mama like that.
You probably could.
Really?
I think that's what we all assume you and Larsa Pippen are doing, right?
I might ask her. I'd be like, please.
Yo, put me on a stipend.
Spoil me, please, Larsa.
For sure. Okay. Anybody want to shout out? Anything we need to know before we wrap this?
My podcast is called Tap In. That's about it. Harry Jazzy everywhere. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's
my
good
pleasure,
to finally
man.
meet you.
Yeah.
Being a big fan for the longest time. Like, it's crazy.
Appreciate
it.
It's
wild, bro. I remember watching that podcast with the gun and like the first, bro, I was saying to your boys, it was like the first ever video that I saw you guys on was when you went to Australia to see Kid Leroy. I was like, who is this kid?
Yeah.
Who is this No Jumper guy? And then I remember like I would see you all over social media, like people freaking out that you were in Australia because we don't really have like celebrities or like internet celebrities. Like, there's like a handful and there's like some more people now, but I was like, damn, who the fuck is this?
But have you spent much time there since you blew up?
I haven't been home in two years, bro.
Okay.
It's weird. Yeah. And I know like it hasn't really hit my mum either, because like anytime I'm in the local newspaper, she'll freak out. I was like, mum, like,
you don't know how bad it is.
I was like, you don't know what's going on the outside. Like, it's crazy, bro. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, man. Appreciate you.
Damn.
Harry Jowsey.
Legend. Thank
you
so
much. No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube and Patreon.
Yeah. Swipe up.
Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Appreciate y'all.